What a great day to be back. In a righteous and holy way, I could kiss every one of you. I'm just so glad to see you and glad that we are back together as a family again. There's something nice about virtual, but virtual will never beat this. And man, it is so good to see all of you. Those of you who came in last night, we just had a great time, and Steve and his group were just fabulous for us. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you have heard something like this in the last year and almost 3 months, but why aren't we canceling services? And you turn away from that person and you hear someone who says, masks, where's your faith? I mean, this has been the most, I hear it from every pastor. Brother Phil, I got crazy people in my church. I got people who are mad because we've canceled services, and I've got people who are mad because we haven't canceled services. We live in a day when there are, to use Brother Griswold's phrase, there are no guardrails on the emotional life of so many people. They live from ditch to ditch to ditch to ditch. They can't stay on the straight and narrow because their emotions have no guardrails. And my fear is that the same thing will happen to you and I. I want you to know for our council that I mentioned this in the prayer service. I've not been praying, Lord, anoint my sermon, although you should be praying that. I've not been praying, Lord, bless us, give us your will, although those are both key prayer points. I've prayed for you to be refreshed and renewed and strengthened and have new hope. But my daily prayer has been this one thing. Lord, let your glory rise among us. Give us another day of dedication in Solomon's temple where the Spirit of the Lord swept in such a powerful way that the priests could not minister, that they surrendered their will, their agenda to the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. That's my hope for us. That's my cry for us. Lord, let your glory rise among us. Why is that so important? Because there's a warfare that's coming. It's a warfare that's here. It's a warfare of immense proportions. The kingdom of darkness will come with one final campaign to claim all that they can. And my fear is that we will be distracted from the true enemy. I will read this Tuesday night from our ordination service. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. I got to tell you something. It's easy to do. It's easy to get distracted and entangled and live from ditch to ditch in our own life. Last week, I was reading an article in the USA Today that said we should no longer call people who give birth moms. We ought to call them birthing people, because not everyone who gives birth is a woman. And they're the ones who say that we're not following the science. I saw that, and as God is my witness, I copied the article to my social media page, and I was getting ready to hit enter when the Holy Spirit said, not today. Don't be distracted in fighting this evil culture, because culture is not my enemy. Satan is. Culture is my mission field. Culture is the place that God calls us to minister, to reach out to our nation who is far from God and say to them, there is a God who loves you and cares for you, and you are not my enemy, but my enemy has affected you. I want you to know I never feel so strong about this as I am in this day and age. We are strangers in a strange land. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. But I want you to know this is a historically biblical position. It's nothing new to live as strangers in a strange land. Listen in the book of Exodus, when Moses called his son's name Gershom, for he said, I am a stranger in a strange land. In Hebrews chapter 11, they all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off, and they believed them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers in a strange land. Culture is not my enemy. Satan is my enemy. In fact, I'm called to stand for things more than I'm called to stand against things. Yes, listen to me. I will stand against lies. I will call a lie a lie. I will stand against lies because they come from the father of lies. I will stand against pride so that I will not fall into the same condemnation as the devil. I will stand against sin so that I will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. But I will stand against him by declaring what I stand for. Now hear me. Culture is not my enemy. I can stand against lies. I can stand against sin. But I stand against those things by declaring what I stand for. I will stand for truth so that I can be sanctified by his word. And so that I can worship him in spirit and truth. I will stand for grace because when the word became flesh and dwelt among us, we saw his glory and he was full of grace and truth. I will stand for purity and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I will stand for righteousness and for justice because the Bible says that they are the foundation of God's throne in heaven. I will stand on the word of God. We got to be known for who we are, what we stand for, and who we represent more than what we're simply against. I am for the truth of the Word of God. We want to use Daniel this morning as our example. Daniel was an exile in a foreign land. He acknowledged that he was a stranger in exile upon the earth. He was confronted with a sinful culture so antagonistic against God. He lived what we're living today. He lived what we're living today. We're going to look at it in just a moment. Daniel went through the same things that you and I are going through in our culture today, and he did it in such a profoundly perfect way that it gives us a guideline. I love this. The corrupt culture looked at Daniel, and here's what it says that they found. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and he was not corrupt. And he was never negligent. What three better things could be said about you and I? I love the theme of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, I prayed this morning. In Daniel chapter 7, verse number 13, it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there was before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. That's our king. He was given glory, dominion, sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Listen, when they brought Daniel to Babylon, they sought to remake his identity. They tried to immerse him in their culture, their language, dictating his diet, giving them new Babylonian names that reflected the gods of the land. In Babylon, God's people faced complete cultural and theological domination, what we face today. They were attempting to steal the God-given identity of these young men. And I want to tell you, that's what our sons and daughters are facing today when the enemy is trying to steal their God-given identity to bring confusion and anger and hurt upon them. And I want you to know, it's time for the church to stand up for the truth. Culture is not our enemy, But truth is our weapon. Daniel doesn't wage a cultural war. You know why? Because he understood that while he was in exile, God was not. While he was in exile, God was not. His God was still with him. He did not need to be conformed to the gods of Babylon. A couple of things that Daniel did to see that come to pass. Number one, Daniel knew the power of convictions, the control of the flesh. He stood for truth as a teenager from day one. No compromise. In chapter number one, they challenged him to compromise the ceremonial laws, and he said no to every small compromise. Listen, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, while culture is not our enemy, yet we cannot afford to compromise our God-given convictions. There is truth that we have to stand for and stand up and declare this is truth according to the Word of God. Chapter 2, they challenged to compromise the moral law with pride when God gave him an answer. And the soldier comes to bring him in. He presents Daniel as the man who has the answer. And Daniel quickly rejects that. He rejects pride and credits God for his message. In chapter 4, he's challenged to compromise the truth in interpreting the king's dream. He says to the king, "Oh, I wish this was about your enemies and not about you." King says, "Tell me the truth," and Daniel speaks the truth. In chapter 6, he's challenged to compromise his spiritual connection to God. "If you pray, we will kill you." I don't think we're at that place in America today, but we're not far off. "If you pray, we will kill you." And he opened the windows so that they could all hear him pray. Convictions, yes. Compromise, no. He stood by his convictions in the face of death multiple times, but his connection to God was the source of his deliverance. The source of our deliverance is not how loud we can scream, how emotional we can get, how crazy we can act. The power of our connection to God is the power that we can exhibit to our world today. They could find no corruption in him. Why? Because he was connected to God. His convictions never compromised at all. And we have to be people of righteous convictions. We have to be people who stand for truth, for grace, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, the Pentecostal church better be Pentecostal in this day and age more than any other. We can't expect our culture to hear the truth if we continually abandon it ourselves. How will the world ever hear truth and conviction if we abandon it, even in the small things? But not only do we not, we don't have to abandon it, but we don't have to spit in people's face either. You see, Daniel knew the power of conversation. This, I think, is one of the most missed themes of the book of Daniel. This is a great sermon for our friend Bob Eby, who's teaching preaching at AGTS. There's no screaming at culture. There's no crazy memes. In chapter 2, listen to what it says. The king had a dream, and he says to his wise men, "Tell me the dream and the interpretation of." And they said, "Well, tell us the dream." And the king said, "No, if you got the interpretation, you can get the dream too." Thank God you're not a wise man. And they said, "No one," listen to what they said, "no one could do this except God. No one could do that except God." And that's when you want to say, "Yep, amen." And the king grew so angry, verse 12, and furious that he ordered the execution of all of the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, listen to the next words. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. No screaming. No crazy memes. He spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He spoke with wisdom and tact to outsiders. People will never hear our shouts, but they will listen if God gives us wisdom and tact. Listen to Luke chapter 2, or Luke chapter 21, the promise of the Lord. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your enemies, none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Wisdom is the right words, and tact is the right way to say it. Wisdom, words and wisdom are more valuable and powerful than voice and volume. Words and wisdom are more powerful than voice and volume. And my fear for us is that we'll be so distracted from the real enemy that we will use voice and volume more than wisdom and words. God, keep us inside the guardrails of your truth. Give us wisdom and words to speak that our enemies and our adversaries will not be able to resist or contradict. He knew the power of conversation. Now, Daniel still cried out, but his cry, his voice and volume was not to outsiders, it was to God. The Bible says he turned to his friends and he said to them, plead to God for mercy. He says to the guy on the outside, please, if you'll just give me a little bit of time, it's valuable to the king to give us an opportunity to give the answer. Let me pray. Please, you don't want to lose what the king is looking for. But he turns to his friends and he says to his friends, cry out to God. That's our answer. To our world, we need to speak with wisdom and tact. We need to speak words that are anointed by the Holy Spirit, but then we need to turn to our God and cry out for the power and the mercy of God to be poured out upon us. His conversation never got carnal. Look at Daniel chapter 6 when they throw him in the lion's den. Now, they throw him in the evening into the lion's den. And they cover the lion's den with a stone. How long do you think it took Daniel in the lion's den to figure out that God had provided an answer for him? 1 minute, two? I mean, probably within 3 or 4 minutes, Daniel is given one of these in the lion's den. Yeah. Yeah, who's big and bad now? I'll show you. You boys won't be eating tonight. Angel of the Lord is with me. Come on now. All night long. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know what Daniel did all night long, but I'll tell you what Phil Schneider would have done all night long. They're going to come in the morning, dig out my bones. I'm going to be ready for them. I got a few things I'd like to say to them. Oh, Daniel, are you alive? Come down and see. You arrogant king, I'm down here because of you. Come join me. Man, I would have had 10 or I would have had that conversation in my head about 100 times. When Darius rolled, or they pushed that stone away from the mouth of the lion's den, and the king, who Daniel doesn't know this, but he's been up all night, concerned and worried, and he cries out into the pit, Daniel, is the God that you serve continually, is he able? Daniel, the God that you serve continually, is he able? Is he able to deliver you? And listen to the words of the man of God. O king, live forever. The power of the Spirit of God working through a man to guard his conversation, to guard his heart, to keep himself in the right place. Proverbs 25, the right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver. Look at Darius's response when he brings Daniel out and he declares to everybody that they should worship the one true God, Daniel's God. Well, what did that do? What were the results of that? In Daniel chapter 5, when Nebuchadnezzar's son has taken the throne and they're partying, they're throwing a party with the vessels from the temple. And God judges him, and a hand appears, and it writes on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." That's not meme, meme, tekel, upharsin. "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And the Bible says that the people are so shook up that there is a huge clamor in the wall. Belshazzar's knees are knocking together. So much that his mother, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, comes into the hall to see what's happening, and they tell her. And she says to her son, "You don't need to be afraid, because there's a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God." When Belshazzar calls him in, he says to him, "I hear that you are a man in whom the Spirit of the living God dwells." How did they know that? They saw God's presence and the truth of God through his convictions and his conversation. May that's what people see in us. While they're driving from ditch to ditch to ditch to ditch to ditch, may we be leading the pack, speaking truth with words of wisdom and revelation that our enemies and adversaries cannot resist or contradict. I want to finish this morning from Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter number 2. When Daniel is given the interpretation to this very first dream. In that moment, I think there's a prideful response, a prideful opportunity to confront the culture of his day. But in that moment, listen to what Daniel says in chapter 2, verse 20. By the way, that's all my introduction. This is my sermon. "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars." Think about that. Wise people, when they're in his presence, they become more wise. Scholars, when they're in his presence, become more scholarly. "He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you." Listen to these five things. Number one, he says about God, he has all wisdom. Let his wisdom flow out of your conversations. Man, when you go to meet with your mayor, you pray, "Lord, give me wisdom and words." In that hour when they bring you before the kings, for in that hour the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. He has all wisdom. He knows the answer. Number two, he has all power. He controls world events. He controls world leaders. Let his power keep you in your convictions. Should there come a time that our culture becomes so anti-Christian that they tell you if you pray, we will kill you. We will take everything you have. We'll take your family. We'll take your kids. We'll take your money. We'll take everything. Let the power of God keep you. For you shall receive, say it with me, power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Number three, he has revelation and direction. He reveals the things hidden in darkness, the mysteries. He answers our questions with revelation. We get what we ask for. Let his revelation and his direction show you where to go and how to get there. Number four, verse 23, he gives us strength. we will win the right war. Don't win the wrong war. Don't win the culture war and lose the Christ-like war. He'll give us strength to win the right war. The war that will keep our kids. The war that will bring truth and revival and conviction and the move of the Holy Spirit in our communities. We'll win the right war. And last and most important for us is one little word that's hidden in this passage. At the end, he says, God, you gave us the answer. You gave us the answer to what was the dream and what was the interpretation. You gave us favor. You've given us victory. You gave us, he's about to get it. You'll give us promotion. But listen to what he says. You have told me what we asked of you. In that moment, Daniel steps back into this conversation. And he says, God, you gave me what we asked for. What we together cried out to you for. I want you to know today, I believe that there's incredible power of community pleading together for God's answer. This is not us saying, man, I'm glad Doug Clay gets to speak for us. I'm glad Dr. Scott Hagen gets to speak for us. No, the power was found with what we asked for. So here's what I'm going to do. The warfare that almost every one of us have experienced in church life over the last year, that's not going away. But I believe we as God's people, the first day we gather back together, can stand and cry out to God. Father, give us Illinois. Father, give us Chicago. Father, give us Seneca. Father, give us Champaign. Father, give us Carlinville. Father, give us Evergreen Park. We can cry out, Father, give us Illinois. Father, give us our children and our children's children. Father, give us the lost for an inheritance. We get what we ask for. Would you stand with me? And I want us to pray today, Father, give us Illinois. I'm going to pray, Father, give us Illinois. And I'm going to pray, Father, give us Bethalto. That's where I live. I'm going to pray, Father, give me my children's children and their children which have not yet been born. We get what we ask for. We stand against our enemy today. Would you right now begin to lift up your hands and voices and let's cry out to God. That is our answer. Hear us, O God. We plead to you for mercy. We cry out to you, Almighty God. Father, give us Illinois. Give us Chicago. Give us the suburbs. Give us the rural communities. Father, give us words and wisdom that will defeat voice and volume. Give us, the Lord, words and wisdom so we can stand for righteousness and justice in Jesus' name. Give us words and wisdom so we can declare truth and grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us Illinois. Give us this state for your kingdom, oh God. Give us our cities, our families, our children, and our children's children. We declare in the name of the Lord.